a passage of scripture that it's been said this is one of the most beloved scriptures of all times. So y'all ready to get into the beloved stuff tonight? Look, we can go to like the hell part if you'd like. We could talk about that instead. No. Maybe. No, we'll save that for another time. But this is actually a really neat part of scripture that I'm really excited about. And if you guys got your Bibles, because I know you do, go to open up your app, get your little Bible out, crack that bad boy open, and go to Luke, the 15th chapter. It's an oldie but a goodie here. And as you guys are flipping to that Luke 15th chapter, we're going to go ahead and pray for the word tonight and get into this. So let's do this. So Father, we thank you for this time we have to be able to jump into your word. God, I pray that, Lord, tonight that we wouldn't just be able to open up a book and read a story, but God, this would be your word to our life. God, that our ears would hear your voice, that our eyes would see your ways, and God, that our heart would fit within your hand to be shaped into the person you created us to be. So Father, you know, for those of us with rough edges tonight, smooth us out. Father, for those of us that are a little too smooth, roughen us up. And God, Lord, send us out tonight knowing what you need us to know so that we can be who you need us to be. Tonight, God, we're at church so you could turn us into the church. So, Lord, we give you this time. We give you our attention. Father, we pray for each and every other youth ministry in the Inland Empire, even around the world, God. Father, whether it's, you know, a church on the move or Father, whether it's a church on the hill or church on the block or church on downtown, whatever church is, wherever they is be, God, we ask that you bless them if they're talking about Jesus. We just recognize we're all brothers and sisters getting this thing done, making people know about your name. In Jesus' name we pray, Father. Everybody said amen. Amen. All right, so now, here we are. Summer's in full swing. It's hot, man. And I don't know where you guys are, but I was just taking a trip down memory lane and remembering what it was like to be young and reckless, to be 18 again. Man, wow. See, we didn't have cell phones back then. We have beepers. That's right. The smaller the beeper, the cooler you were. Even if you had like one of those little clear plastic beepers, and you know, you'd hide it in your backpack because you weren't allowed to have it in school. It just, you know, and then you'd try to type words on it and stuff, and you'd turn it upside down. Hello. And in other words, you can't stay in church too. We found out ways to see that kind of stuff. And that was like ghetto text messaging before there was text messaging. And it was a long, long, long time ago. But I remember some things about it. When I turned 18, I remember the arguments I used to have with my mom all the time. You know, and it was and I feel like it's like the universal arguments that everybody has with their mother or their father or whoever the authority figure is. You know, I mean, the things you argue about with your mom, right, is get out of my business, is, you know, stay out of my room, right? No, never, maybe. Why can't I stay out later? Maybe some of you guys, can I please use the car? Please, 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 please. Yeah, some of y'all need to get your license, okay? You know you get the license, so you can go out and get a job. Of course, for those of my moochers in here, can I have more money? Why? Why? Why not? Why not? You know, I mean, am I missing anything here? I just can't, or maybe you said, I just can't wait to get out of this place. I can't wait to get on my own. Why don't you like my friends? Right? You guys have never had these arguments before? Never? Never? Then I would say, wait. Or you're a better child than I was, okay? These are like what they call the growing pains, right? These are the things that you argue about because you guys are practically becoming, if not already, adults. You guys are getting there, and you want to make grown choices, and y'all want to get out of here, and you want to be on your own, and or at least you want your folks to treat you like you're on your own when you're living in their house and eating their food and using their electricity and having them pay your phone. I'm just saying, why not, right? Why not? And those are the things that I would get really frustrated about. And I remember, because me and my mom, you know, me and my mom, we're pretty tight. You know, me and my mom, we're close. I love my mom. She's my mama. And it was really weird arguing with my mom about these things, because I was so cool. I remember the day I moved out, literally my mom would call me every day. Every day. And then maybe like 3 weeks ago, I was talking with my wife, Pastor Michelle, and she's like, "Man, you haven't talked to your mom in a while." And I was like, "Yep." Told her, took me 12 years, but I finally broke her. Truth is, she got tired of me not answering the phone sometimes, because I'm busy, Mom. I'm in a meeting. No time to talk to you. I'm in a staff meeting. Pastor Jim's talking. Tell him I said hello. Hello, Pastor Jim. My mom wants you to know I'm saying hi. What? So this is just normal, you know. But the problem is this: is sometimes all of us, including myself at that age, even sometimes now, is the problem is this: is sometimes we want, and this is, don't just get hung up on the man woman thing, but we want the privileges of a man, but the responsibilities of a child. Oh, let it sink. Let it sink. Got it. Okay. Will you miss it? Okay, wait. We want the privileges of a man with the responsibilities of a child. Let it sink. And there. Okay. See, and that's what we want. I mean, literally, that's not a bad thing, because I think that's what everybody wants, right? Who wouldn't love having a massive house with a beautiful family and lots of money and you don't have to have a job, and you can sleep until 11 in the morning? Who wouldn't want that? But it's not realistic. But that's what people want. See, and inside of us, you know, we want great things, but we don't always want to pay the price to get those things. That's why, you know, I want to talk to you guys this week and next week about. I mean, if serious, if you're taking notes, the title of this is called The Lost Boys. It's called Finding the Lost Boys. And in Luke 15th chapter is probably the story, one of the first stories that we see that Jesus tells about a lost boy. Now, does anybody watch Once Upon a Time? Okay. Does anybody love Peter Pan, the cartoon, the Disney cartoon? Following the leader. Yeah, okay. Does anybody just not even care about any of these things? All right, that's cool, because I don't care either. So if you don't care, I don't care, because we're talking about the Bible, not Peter Pan. So there, take that. But it's this really neat idea, because we all know the Peter Pan story, right? Whether you ascribe to the Once Upon a Time, or never mind, I'm not going to spoil it, or whether you like the Disney movie or whatever the case is. But, you know, Neverland, where's Neverland? Thank you. You just keep on going till morning, right? Second star on the right, just keep on going till the sunset. You know, anyway, so it's a faraway place where little boys never grow up, and there's mermaids and, you know, politically incorrect, you know, things. And of course, pirates. And it seems like, I mean, unless you watch Hook, the other movie, you know, nobody really ever dies. They just, like, fight, and they just hit each other all the time with cannonballs and stuff like that. And everybody's okay. And you're always 10 years old wearing a raccoon costume. Seriously, who wouldn't want that, right? I mean, it sounds kind of, really? Like, hey, sign me up, right? The food looks tasty. And you never grow up. And, you know, the problem is that's not what God's called us to do. I mean, in 1 Corinthians, the Bible says, when I was a kid, I thought like a kid. But then I grew up, and I put all my kiddie stuff away. I stopped acting like a child. And it's time for us to grow up. In Luke, the 15th chapter, there's a story about a boy that wanted the privileges of a man, of an adult, of a grown, mature person. But they didn't want the responsibilities. And a lot of times that's what happens with us, especially right around this age, especially right around this phase of life. And some of us never get beyond it. You know, we go from person to person, relationship to relationship. You know, maybe we're stuck being the person that starts everything and never finishes anything. You know what I'm saying? You join the soccer team and then you quit because it was hard. And then you started playing violin, but it was too screechy, so you put it in the closet. And then, you know, and then you wanted to do ASB, but, you know, I mean, it was really hard getting voted in as a president or whatever. And so he's like, oh, whatever, I quit. You know, I mean, God's called us to greater things, to begin and to finish great things. And then you have this boy. Let me read you this story. This boy, he doesn't even have a name. And I wonder if God never gave him a name, because maybe his name is our name. Maybe it's there so we can put ourselves in this situation. In Luke 15:11, Jesus is looking and he says, okay, there's a certain man, and he had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, he said, Father, give me a portion of the goods that falls to me. He wanted his inheritance. He said, Dad, you're not dead yet, so I didn't want to wait that long. Can I have the money that you're going to give me anyway? Kind of rude, but he did it. So the dad said, all right, fine. If you want it that bad, then I'll give it to you. So the dad took everything he had, and he cut it into three. And the older son got two-thirds, because he's the older one. That's the way they did it back in the day. And the younger son got one-third. Boosh. And the younger said to his father, he said, Father, give me the portion of goods that belong to me. Divide his livelihood. And then only a few days later, the younger son gathered everything he had together. He cashed it, and he sold it at an auction. He gave it away to get money for it. And it says he gathered his money, went to a far country, went to Neverland. And there he wasted everything he had, what they called prodigal living, on party life, on the clubs and the party. And then he went to the after party, and then he went to the after after party, and then he went to the after. But, well, actually it was a pre-party, because by that time he was done with the after parties. And he wasted his possessions on prodigal living. He had spent everything. All of a sudden, there arose a severe famine in that land he was in, and he began to be in want. He had nothing left. So he went and joined himself with a citizen of the country. He sold himself as a slave. And he sent, and that man he sold himself his life to, he sent him to his field to feed swine, pigs, nasty, dirty, filthy pigs. And that son, that boy, looked, and he said he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods, with the leftovers that the swine were eating. And no one gave him anything. And all of a sudden he came to himself. He said, how many of my father's hired servants, how many of those guys, his employees, have bread enough to spare? And here I am, I'm perishing, I'm hungry. He says, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to my father. I'm going to say, Dad, I sinned against heaven. And I've sinned before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up. He rose and came to his father. But while he was still a great way off, his father ran. He saw him and had compassion. So the father ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven. I've sinned in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father interrupts him. Father said to his servants, bring out your best robe, put it on him. Get my ring and get it on his hand. Sandals, put them on his feet. Bring the fatted calf here and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For my son, he was dead, and now he's alive again. My son was lost, and now he's found. And they begin as a whole family to be merry. See, that's the story of the lost boys. Now, it's kind of crazy because really, there's two parts here. See, the boy finds himself lost. And the crazy thing is he didn't even realize he was lost. See, looking at it, he had this idea, man, if only. He had this picture of what life could be like. I mean, have you ever done that? Have you ever just thought about the future? Have you just sat there and you're just thinking, man, where if only, once I get to college, once I move out and I meet the right lady or the right man, once I get a job in 10, 15 years, yeah, right, who thinks 10, 15 years ahead of time, right? In 1-2 months, I'm a senior this year, I'm a junior this year, I can't wait. And we begin to have these dreams. You know, I don't know if you're like that, but you begin to think what it's going to be like when I finally, I remember as a kid thinking, man, there is no way I could ever drive. I just imagine myself running and driving into things. It's just, I thought, man, they better not give me a license. And then they did. And I was just a couple accidents later, here I am alive still. And I would picture these things of what the future would be like. And I believe that's what he did, because you know what it's like. You get in an argument with a family, and what do you think about?
I was in charge. Once I'm on my own, when I can make my own rules.
Or maybe some of you guys are crazy, you already make your own rules. You begin to think what the future could be like. I mean, could you imagine? I mean, what made this kid come up to his dad one day and say, yeah, I don't like it here anymore? Right? I mean, you just don't wake up one day and say, you know what, I'm going to leave this place, and I'm going to take all my dad's money. Like, you don't. You just don't. Nobody just wakes up and does crazy stuff like that. Something happened. He woke up one day and said, you know what? My dad's been on my case. He won't let me do this. He won't let me do that. Man, he's not paying attention to me. This is hard. I don't like working for him. He makes me clean up the cow stuff all day. I'm tired of this. These aren't even my cows. I want what's coming to me. And he got tired of the way life was at home, right? I mean, don't you just get sick and tired of the way things are sometimes? So he rose up one day and said, Dad, I'm done. I'm done doing things for you. Dad, I'm done with my older brother. I'm done with your friends. I'm done with the rules. Dad, I think I could do this better myself. So how about you let me go and go live my life? Just let me live my life. Let me be me. I'm going to do me, Dad, because I'm tired of doing this. So he gets everything he ever thought he wanted. Packs up. And I picture it like in the cartoons, where he has that stick with the little thing on the end of it. I just see it right there. He's walking on the sunset. And then he comes up into the big city. And he's like, you see all the like flashing lights? Girls, 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 you know, something like that, you know. It was prodigal living, people, prodigal living. And it's like, you know, casino and bowling or something horrible. You know, and here he is. He's like, oh, I don't never seen this over here before. And he just begins to squander his money. Now, I don't know, but it doesn't sound like it lasted very long. So either his dad was broke or this brother had fine taste. But in just a matter of moments, everything he had was gone. And he found himself lost. It reminds me of another Disney story in Pinocchio. You know, like, they go to Pleasure Island, they all become donkeys. It's like super creepy. It's what it sounds like. They think, you know what? I'm going to leave home so I can be a little boy forever at Neverland with the mermaids and the fairies. Sure, being 10 is cool for a year, and then I'm ready to be 11. Right? But see, this guy, this young son got stuck. He got stuck because he thought he was being held back by everything his dad had for him. He thought he was being held back by the life that was given to him. He thought that his dad's rules, he thought his dad's love wasn't enough. He thought his dad's house wasn't big enough. He thought his dad's work was too hard, and so he wanted to do it on his own. And he found himself going 2 stars to the right, and he walked until the morning, and all of a sudden he found himself in a place that he never saw before. And he began to do things and see things and experience things that he never thought he would ever experience. And as soon as he began to enjoy it, as soon as he began to love it, he found out that it didn't love him, it hated him. It, all of a sudden, everything he began to spend his money on began to fall through his fingers and it disappeared. And it turned out to be a big dream, a fairy tale. It turned out that Never Never Land is a place you never, never want to go. Because at the end, Peter Pan started killing people. I'm just saying, it could not be true, but you never know. You got to watch the show to find out. But anyway.
Spoiler alert. Sorry.
In the end, you find out it's nothing but a dream. Because he wakes up one day, and every friend he bought, every friend he entertained, every friend he partied with and clubbed with, and every friend that he thought had his back was gone. And he found that he was lost. Every prodigal son, every lost boy, they never started off that way. I don't know if you've ever found yourself in a situation you never expected to be. I don't know if you found yourself doing something you thought you would never do. Have you ever said something that you never thought you would ever say? Because if you have, you're lost. You didn't think you'd get lost, but you just found out that you're lost. I know I've been there. I know I've done those things. I know that I was driven away from what I knew what was right to go someplace I thought was better. And I got lost. I got lost. I got caught up in the stars. Only to find out that I was lost. And it says here, there he was with a mouth full of mud. And God knows what else, because there's pigs there. I'm just saying. And he's looking at that slop thinking, oh, that trash look pretty good right now. Them leftovers in between that pig snout. Ooh, I want some of that. Yeah, that's nasty. I mean, that brother got to be hungry when you're looking at trash thinking that looks good. When you're looking at leftovers and stuff that fell out of people's mouth, you're thinking, I wonder, give me a piece of that. How hungry does a man have to be? I mean, even the land gave up on him. The famine came in, the rain stopped pouring, all the plants dried up, and the place where he wanted to be, the place he thought it was at, was empty, dried up. He was lost. But you see, every lost boy has a chance to be found. You know, in the story of Peter Pan, eventually, they beat the pirates and they get adopted. I don't know if you knew that. But Wendy and her family end up adopting them. The lost boys, they leave Neverland and they grow up because they were found. And this is the beauty. I think this is why people for thousands of years love this story. Because the truth is we're all lost. If you've ever found yourself doing something that you knew was wrong, you're lost. And this is the beauty, is that every lost boy, every lost girl, every lost family gets the opportunity to be found. He woke up with trash in his mouth and said, what am I doing? This is ridiculous. This is stupid. This doesn't work. I mean, how many family members or friends do you know that are just so strung out and they're just so baked and they're just so wasted? You just look at them and you think, or maybe even look at people that you love in the mirror, or maybe even look at yourself in the mirror and you think, how much longer am I going to put up with this garbage? How much longer do I have to hate myself? How much longer does this person have to hurt us? How much longer is it going to take till you realize that when we do these things, we just fill our mouth with garbage and dirt and mud and refuse and throw away junk? And how long does it take for us to hate the taste of trash and say, I'm done with this. I'm ready to turn around and I'm ready to fight the good fight and go towards these things. And he wakes up and he says, look, my dad's slaves live better than me, man. It's time to go back. So he gets up and he packs the nothing that he has in his stick in his rag, and he puts it on his shoulder, and he's whistling a different tune. He instead of being happy and thinking of all the lights and the shows he's gonna see, he begins to think, man, I just hope my father at least will hire me as a worker. I hope my dad will at least let me work in the back with the slaves. I hope my dad will at least he'll be able to at least say one word, yes, get in and get to work. I hope my dad will be able to at least he won't. I hope he doesn't hit me. I hope he doesn't hate me. I hope he'll speak to me ever again. And he's saying all these words, and he's going over the speech in his head. You know what I'm saying? The argument you have before you have the argument. You practice it in your head. And then you think, when they say this, I'm going to say, yeah, that's a good one. The jerk store called. Anyway, and all of a sudden, he's going over this whole thing. The Bible says he's saying, I'll tell dad this, and I'll say sorry this way. And before he can realize it, he begins to hear something. I mean, could you imagine it? Could you just imagine over the hill seeing and hearing somebody running at you screaming? I don't know if you ever had any of that happen to you before, but it's crazy. I have kids that do that sometimes. Dad! He hit me! It's kind of unnerving. And in the middle of the argument he's having in his head, he's interrupted as he sees over the hill an old man running at him. His hair, his beard, his robe flapping in the wind. With his arms up, and he's thinking, oh crap, he's gonna come beat me. I didn't think he'd be that mad. And the dad comes and he runs, and it says he falls on his neck. Could you imagine a dad running and jumping in the air only to hug his son? Wow. I mean, that, for some of us, that would only be a dream. Here, this father does that. I imagine they almost fall to the ground. And the dad says, he's kissing his son. And he's hugging him and holding him. And the son begins to say his speech. Dad, 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 I'm so sorry. I sinned against God. I sinned against you. Dad, dad, I'm not even worthy to be your son. And the dad says, shut up. Shut up. I don't want to hear it. Because I want you to hear me. It's time to party and celebrate. Here's my ring. Here, you must be cold. You smell like garbage, man. Let's get a coat on you, get you a bath. No, what happened to your shoes? I gave you nice shoes. Mijo, where'd your shoes go? Here, take mine. Take my shoes. Put them on you. Your feet look nasty. And then as they get in, get the food. Tell Ma to go to Rosa Maria's. Time to get them burritos. And they gather the entire town to celebrate the fact that his deadbeat son is no longer dead. He was found. It's funny because there's two things. And I hope this makes sense to you guys, but there's two things that happened. See, the son was lost. But it wasn't until he took the first step home that his dad could find him. Right? Because his dad didn't go into the city to get him. Think about that, right? The dad didn't go to the city to get him. Maybe that's kind of jacked up. I don't know. But as soon as he stepped out of the city, there the dad was looking for him over the hill. He says he didn't even get home yet. He was still a far way off, and the dad was looking. He had his binoculars on, and as soon as but the beauty is as soon as the kid left his pigsty, as soon as he stepped out of it, the dad sprung into action and said, "Look, you took the first step. I'm gonna meet you where you're at." And he ran from home, and he came and met him on the way. You see, for a lost boy, a lost girl to get found, all they have to do is turn around. And as soon as you turn around, the father is there ready to adopt you, to bring you in, to take care of you. It's crazy because they say, and I'm going to wrap it up right now, but they say that when Jesus told the story, it was hard for people to understand. Because everybody knew that God would forgive you, right? They killed the animals and the blood and the guts and everything. It was nasty. Everybody knew. I mean, all throughout the Bible before this part, you know, they talk about how God forgives. I mean, everybody knew God would forgive you. But the one thing they didn't know yet, the one thing they didn't know yet about God is that God would go out to find you. And that's what tripped them out. They said, what? You mean God's not mad at us? What? You mean God is looking for me? What? You mean God is trying to get me back? That doesn't make any sense. I've never heard that before. That God loves me that much that he would get up off of his butt and go looking for me. That doesn't make any, what? And Jesus told this story. And most people were waiting for this story. I've heard this story before. The son goes back and he works for his dad for 7 years and then the kid can come back and live in the house. I've heard this story before. I know the way this story ends. The dad's really mad and he gives his son, you know, 7 swats. He gets what's coming to him. I know how this story ends. The kid comes in. He has to work until he pays the dad back. I know how this story ends. I know exactly how this story ends, Jesus. Heard that. Saw that. This is a rerun, right? I Love Lucy with the chocolate factory. I get it. But then Jesus throws that twist in. No. The son's walking. He doesn't even get halfway there. The dad comes running. What? Wait a minute. Jesus, rewind this. It was about as surprising as a 7-1 loss. I'm just saying, Brazil, where you at? Seriously? Whatever. God, Jesus. Anyway, as a World Cup joke. But they had never expected this turn of events, that God would get up and run up. Because the Father is God, and you're the prodigal son. I'm the prodigal son. We're in Neverland, trying to do our own thing, spending what God gave us on stuff that doesn't matter. And that's what we do. And that's what we do with our time. That's what we do with our life. That's what we do with our family. That's what we do with our resources. That's what we do with our talents. That's what we do with the way we use our brain. That's what we do all the time. And we fill our life with all this garbage. And God says, look, stop it. Just turn around, and I'm going to come running after you, and we'll go, and we'll make things right. And we'll have a celebration, and we'll have a party, and people will be happy. And this is the way it's going to happen. All you need to do is come to your senses. Snap it. Snap out of it and turn around. You're doing okay. Don't worry. Snap out of it. Turn around so we can go where I want you to go. You'll find out when you get back home, it's where you're supposed to be the whole time. See, the lost boys left home so they could stay children forever. But that's not where they were supposed to be. Because as soon as Wendy came into town, began to tell him all these things, Wendy takes him home where they were running away from the first place, so they could be adopted in, so they can have a family, so they can grow up and be somebody and be something. You see, we're born into this world, and you know what happens. You turn 10, 11, 12, you start getting all weird with your parents. I don't want to do that. I'm grown now. Because you know, I mean, like, you guys... There ain't no junior hires here. You know how junior hires are. You ever been around junior hires sometimes? Those people are crazy. They don't make no sense. I got one person over here talking to me, Pastor Richard, this. And then another person walks up right in the middle of the conversation, this. And they go, whoa, I got 2 conversations. And then another comes in. I'm like, I'm trying to juggle 3 conversations. Stop it. What, you first, then you, and then you. That's why I love junior hires. And then we get 18, 17, 18, and we think we know it. And then you turn 22 and you realize, I don't know nothing. We get lost, only in need of being found again. So look, let's admit we're all lost in need of being found. So let's turn around. Let's come to our senses. Let's stop trying to do things our way and start doing them God's way. Because the crazy thing is this, is if you do the wrong thing, God's not mad at you. He's waiting for you. Do you know what that means? when you do the wrong thing, God's not mad at you. He's just waiting for you. See, you don't get God's anger until time's up. But as long as there's still time left, you get God's patience and anticipation for you to come home. See, right now, if you're doing dumb things, if you're doing things your way right now, if you're in this place and you're just far from God, God's not mad at you. He's waiting for you. So stop keeping him waiting, because God's got so many good things he wants to give to you that he can't until you get out of the pig pen and step into his house. And if you'll turn around, God will come running towards you to hug you, to put his arms around you, to cry with you, to weep with you, to pick you up, and to put good things on you so you can go forth and do great things. And I don't know about you, but that makes brother want to be found. That makes me want to leave the other way of living. Because the party only lasts till you run out of money. And then it's the pigs. The pigs last a lot longer than the money. So tonight, if you're in this place, you got something from God, let's give him a praise. Thank you.